Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes. Second hour. Labor Day. My busy throat. Goodness gracious. This is the Tara Show. Labor Day, good, happy Labor Day upstate. The Ingalls Markets talk line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Anybody ever, it's a statistical likelihood that some of you out there have driven for Uber or Lyft or both. Now, I admit, in a city like Greenville, where the taxi business is not that big and booming a entity, that it is probably not that big of a deal. As a matter of fact, there's probably more Uber and Lyft drivers than there are taxi cabs at this particular point. And in our area, it's actually probably pretty good for people who want to ride share. When I did Uber, which I did Uber for a very short period of time after I had the heart attack. And that was just to get out of the house because I felt like I had to be moving. Most of the people wanting to use Uber were adults that wanted to go downtown and get inebriated and have a good time and not have to worry about driving home. So that's all well and good. Now, in the bigger cities, where like New York taxi cabs had to have something called a medallion. There was actually like a commission that regulated taxi cab companies. And to get the medallion on your car, you were a very well-off person. It was a six-figure fee to get that medallion on your car. And then once you got the medallion, you could, you know, when you made your money driving your cab, you could sell that medallion to the next guy coming along. And then they would be certified to, backed by the local government, because that's the way the blue governments work. They have their hands in everything. And then you could drive a cab that way. When Uber came out, Uber was designed by the people who own Uber and run Uber. Uber makes no money. They make no money. They make no profit. They have rounds of people coming in and financing them. And they do make money off of the rides to where they can pay the drivers. But they're not actually making money like, say, a traditional business would. Which, for the most part, they don't, you know, around here, around in say, the upstate of South Carolina, people that drive for Uber, they're not employees. The cars they drive are their own, not Uber's. So Uber doesn't really have assets in all these places. But their whole goal, if you look at some of their stuff that they've done in the past, has been to put out the taxi business, and then their rates will change. And that's sometime down in the future. That's beside the point. In the interim, if you drive for Uber, they exert a lot of control over their drivers. One of the things a Uber driver is not supposed to be able to do is to protect themselves. Same with Lyft. Police in Plano, Texas, shot a guy who drove to the police department, opened fire on officers inside the police department, and They say the man was believed to have been linked to the murder of a local Lyft driver just a few hours earlier in nearby Garland, Texas. Then there's the death of 26-year-old Isabella Lewis, which is the 12th homicide of a rideshare driver this year, according to a recent report by the website The Markup, which recently reported on the staggering rise in carjackings and other violent crimes being committed against rideshare drivers. It's very much one of these things where it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Rideshare drivers are, by their very definition, if you see someone with a Lyft light or an Uber sticker on their car, there's a lot of presumptions you can make about that person in that car. One of which, I mean, and you can figure it out by looking at the guy. You can look at his feedback and probably see how many rides he's given and everything else. Forced to disarm when on the job. And then they become sitting ducks. Not just for being shot, but for having their car stolen, rape, assault. I mean, The Markup, they gather their data by interviewing drivers and family members and police reports and local news articles, and they found that Uber and Lyft drivers from Boston and Nashville to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, have been victims of carjackings or attempted carjackings. Their cars ended up crashed or in chop shops or used in other crimes. When I was driving for Uber, I was driving, it was 2016, and I was driving a 2014 Ford Escape that I kept immaculate for the thing. And one time I was riding down in a part of Greenville that they're trying to gentrify, and I had a guy come in swinging beside me and get in front, and another guy come in beside me, and they were trying to box me into this area to turn left. Well, I turned left prior to them doing that. And I was breaking the Uber rules too, by the way. I did not get reported for that incident. Police departments nationwide are reporting an overall surge in carjackings during the pandemic. And those incidents appear to be happening to ride-hail drivers at an especially high rate. And here's the problem with this for me. You know, and this is not a new phenomenon. We've seen pizza delivery drivers and food delivery drivers. They get ambushed and hijacked all the time, too. This is not a new phenomenon. Except with some of the pizza places and some of the food delivery places where it's an independent restaurant. Some of those people don't mind, like Florida. When Florida was really, truly the gunshine state, a lot of the food delivery guys there went around armed and they were able to defend themselves. But the Uber drivers are different. The rideshare drivers are a different breed. You've got a lot of elderly and immigrants and women. And you got 12 that have died this year. Dozens more that have been severely or permanently injured. Some of the carjackings are really wrong place at wrong time incidents. But 75 of the attacks, which is more than 60% of the attacks, happened after drivers were paired with their would-be assailants by the Uber or Lyft algorithm. They get matched up with their would-be assailant. And there was five of them, for example. The Markup spoke with three drivers who were victims of carjackings and with the friends and family of members of two additional drivers. The apps matched all five to those drivers to pick up passengers who then went on to rob, beat, shoot, and in one case, kill them. And then there's Isabella Lewis in Garland, Texas. But it's not just that. I mean, what's, you know, Grubhub, DoorDash, Bite Squad, all of these new jobs that are out there for people that, you know, we're moving closer and closer to a 4-day work week. We're moving closer and closer to a remote workforce in a lot of cases. And it's getting to the point now to where people, I was told one time when I was picking up a young couple that it was cheaper to use Uber than it was to have a car payment and pay insurance. we're moving in that direction, and yet we got a bunch of people being targeted by the assailants, by the predators. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Predators' Ball. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
Keeping the upstate informed on 101.5 FM in Anderson, 95.1 FM in Clemson, Pickens, and Seneca, and
on the Odyssey app
is the Tara Show on 106.3 WORD, the upstate's talk station. Talk to Tara
on the Ingalls Markets talk line
at 800-347-1063.
Live and local.
This is the Tara Show.
106.3 WORD.
Ingalls Markets talk line, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. I was literally trying to get all of my throat clearings out of the way and the coughs and everything else. And did that work? No. Chicago. This may be the worst example of an American city that allows the deranged and the criminally inclined to roam the streets and prey on law-abiding citizens. But it is a national problem in scope, particularly in major cities like L.A., San Francisco, St. Louis, where the Soros-funded prosecutors are in charge. So we get this from CWB Chicago, which demonstrate the extent of the depravity. First up, prosecutors on Saturday accused a man with a long history of violent attacks in Streeterville and the near north side of stabbing a 24-year-old woman to death as she worked at Chase Bank, 600 North Dearborn this week. Jawan Westbrooks, 35, ordered held without bail by Cook County Judge John Like after Assistant State's Attorney Ashley Romito laid out the state's allegations and Westbrooks' history. Jessica Valathong was helping a customer in her cubicle at the bank when he walked in around 11:12 a.m., when Valathong got up to him, he turned around, walked toward her quickly, pulled a knife from his waist, and stabbed her in the left side of her neck one time, and she later died of her wounds. Westbrooks was apprehended, but he should never have been on the streets in the first place. Incidentally, Miss Valathong appears to have been of Asian descent, and I don't think Westbrooks is a white supremacist or Trump voter enraged at his calling COVID a Chinese virus. Once again, from CWB Chicago, we get Westbrooks has an extensive violent criminal history. The courts have linked to severe psychiatric problems. Romito detailed several violent incidents from his past, all of which unfolded in the downtown area. July 8, 2014, he struck two women in their heads with a hammer as they walked past him on the street. The women were both hospitalized with head injuries from the attack. During a bench trial, a judge found him not guilty of attempted murder and not guilty of an aggravated battery by reason of insanity, and he was involuntarily committed to a psychiatric facility. Involuntarily committed, but years later, out on the street and on parole, but still dangerous. In 2014, Westbrooks had the word kill tattooed on his left hand. When he attacked the women, he was on parole for a 2012 attempted robbery in Streeterville, and in that case, he asked a woman for her phone, and then knocked her to the ground when she ignored him. She struck her head on the pavement and looked up to see his smile before he walked away. And they arrested him two blocks away, and he later pled guilty in exchange for a two-year sentence. And at the time of that attempted robbery, he was on probation for an aggravated battery of two police officers and 10 East Chicago, according to Romito. In that case, he punched one cop directly in the face and pushed another. He originally received probation, but then was resentenced to serve 2 years concurrent to the attempted robbery case. In 2009, he was charged with punching an officer in the eye, and they found him not guilty by reason of insanity and involuntarily committed him in 2011. That's just one fella. One man, one person. Consider this from the same city, same day, same website. A Chicago police detective commander on Friday took the unusual step of overriding prosecutors' decision not to pursue murder charges against a man suspected of killing a 7-year-old girl and injuring her younger sister on the Northwest Side, according to the police source. But the commander was himself overruled when CPD leaders decided to avoid a public confrontation with the Cook County State's Attorney Office. That's at least the second time in 3 weeks that prosecutors have refused to approve charges in a high-profile murder case for Area 5 investigators. All of these prosecutors work for Kim Fox with two X's, elected with Soros money. Those people want anarchy. They want havoc. They're willing to let people on the street, like Mr. Westbrooks, all the time, because this leads to you looking around going, we need help here. Where's the government on this? Except, let me ask you a genuine question here. Do you think they would fly here in this state? Do you think one guy running around hurting people would hurt people more than once or twice before they ran across the wrong armed citizen? Because see, in Chicago, while they do now have concealed carry permits, they're very rare in Chicago. So, do you think that would fly here? Do you think we would see this happen here? I don't think so. And in some places, you know, this would not fly. This definitely would not happen in Texas. That's not true. People that have psychiatric issues are, they're everywhere. But this is what Soros is funding, is violence. So, when we get back, more on The Rant. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Ingalls Markets Talk Line. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. As the director for the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, has got a lot of plates spinning in the air right now. Most of them are falling off the sticks because she has a history here recently. You know, she's part of the new breed that came in. And her history is, she has a history of misrepresenting COVID-19 research and promoting dangerously mixed messaging about vaccination and issuing confusing and scientifically dubious advice. And she lays claim to vast powers that Congress has never given her. And her pandemic-related fumbles did not deter her from publicly switching focus to a highly contentious subject that has always spelled trouble for the CDC, which is the, quote, phenomena of, quote, gun violence, end quote. She told CNN last week, something has to be done about this. Now is the time. It's pedal to the metal time. Except it's there's a lot of reasons why violent crime is in an uptick right now. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with most of America. Most of the violent crime in America today happens in about 75 of the counties of the United States out of 3,140. That's not exactly ubiquitous now, is it? And although her particular metaphor suggests hasty action, she emphasized that she's not calling for new gun controls. So she said, I'm not here about gun control. I'm here about preventing gun violence and gun death. Well, here's the problem. Where you set forth policies where there's going to be no economic opportunity, no educational opportunity, and no family structure, and it doesn't really matter who you put in there, right? You're going to have problems. It doesn't matter if it's Caucasian or black or whatever it is. You're going to have problems where those things are not present. And when you've gotten out there and you've put together policies, and then on top of that, and listen, in these urban areas where most of all of this is black-on-black crime, that's a very small percentage of the black population. Black America is actually quite the peace-loving entity. Very put upon in a lot of corners. But through force of policy, they have had some cultural shifts forced upon them. But I digress. When you're getting out there and you're saying we want to prevent gun violence and gun death, how exactly are you going to do that? Most of your gun deaths are by suicide, which is a whole sad thing altogether. That's a whole sad thing altogether. But having said that, only half of all suicides in the United States are done with guns. Now, that doesn't make suicide any less sad because it's not done with guns, but half the time. And for people that get out there and say, thank goodness they only use guns half the time, you're missing the point of what suicide's about. Suicide is a very sad thing. Suicide is where somebody gets out there and sees nothing in front of them except more pain and misery, and they would rather just not be here. And the tragic thing about that is then you look at like these 13 Marines that were just, most of them weren't 22 years old when they were killed in Afghanistan this past week. And you look at them who would trade anything to be here right now. And their loved ones would trade anything for them to be here right now. And you look at suicide and you see that for the waste that it is. The sad waste that it is. And most of us have been touched by it because it is prevalent. It is a prevalent phenomenon today. And still, suicide's not about guns. Crime is not about guns. Guns are an incidental tool in both crime and suicide. And where these people miss the point is where they decide to concentrate on the guns. But what Rochelle Walensky is trying to do, she's trying to frame the gun debate as a public health issue. Now, she's taking the high road. She's just like that cat in the Capital City Police who was very courageous shooting that unarmed woman. She's being courageous. She said, this is clearly one of those moments, one of those issues that is harming America's health. We haven't spent the time, energy, and frankly, the resources to understand the problem because it's been so divided. And her disavowal of the restrictionist motives and her lip service to finding common ground with the firearm-owning community would be more reassuring if it weren't for two facts that are just glaring in the sun, you know? First, CDC-sponsored research in the past typically has served an anti-gun agenda. And they want to reduce homicide and suicide by limiting access to firearms to the law-abiding. Homicide, it's not going to change anything, limiting guns to the law-abiding. Then Joe Biden, and these guys, what it is, whenever they decide to use public health, this is just another means to an end for them. They're not interested in your public health. They're not interested in your public safety. Your public safety means nothing to them. That's why Kim Fox is a prosecutor, the chief prosecutor in Chicago. People of Chicago mean nothing to Kim Fox. Now, if the NRA or anybody steps up there, that becomes the boogeyman, and now we can fundraise and all this other stuff, but it has nothing to do with your public health or your public safety. Such hypocrisy. When we get back, can we admit that our president is demented? You're listening to 106.3 WORD. Ingalls Markets Talk Line is 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Not going to talk about demented Joe because that needs more time. And since this is a relatively quick segment, let's talk about the latest thing, because right now, according to America's most closely watched forecast model, we get this from a bunch of these simpletons out there. The United States is projected to experience almost 100,000 additional COVID-19 deaths between now and December 1st. They don't tell us how, they don't tell us who, they don't tell us where. They just give us a number, which is all designed to evoke an emotional response out of you, primarily fear. They say that figure would be cut in half if everyone wears a mask in public spaces. I myself think we'd be better off if we had half of the experts in place preaching to us all the time about wearing masks. Because this wouldn't be so bad if I hadn't interviewed on my show the guy, I can't remember his name, he has the patent to most of the masks that we wear out there, except for the designer ones that you can now buy at just about any clothing store. And he would tell you that most of those masks are not designed to filter the particulate matter that would keep you from getting COVID-19, unless you're wearing an N95 mask, which is fitted to your face and sealed where you're breathing in. If your primary way of catching COVID-19 is inhalation, whether it's droplets, air particles, whatever you want to call it, N95 will do it. The problem with N95 masks is that breathing in one of those things is really hard. It's really hard to breathe in an N95 mask. I have trouble breathing in any of them. So when these guys get out there and their end-all be-all is masking, I don't know, it makes me want to throat punch somebody. They're whining that we'd all be safer and better off if we changed our ways. And from this, we get this guy, Ali Makdad, a professor of health metrics sciences at the University of Washington in Seattle, opined that we can save 50,000 lives simply by wearing masks. That's how important this is. With the exception of that plethora of studies, which begs to differ with Professor Makdad and the other pro-mask extremists. Masking is becoming a religion, isn't it? We have Seattle's Dr. Gabby Salza. She was vaccinated this past winter, yet she still contracted the coronavirus after attending an outdoor wedding in Vermont, even though everyone attending the soiree had to submit photos of their vaccination cards. Other celebrants tested positive as well. She says this proves even that the vaccinated should be wary and take precautions, and notes that, in retrospect, absolutely, I do wish I'd worn a mask. Could you tell me, and you know, she's a doctor, Dr. Salza, don't you know that a vaccine doesn't stop you from contracting the disease? It's a layer. It's not a, a virus-proof vest. Now, she did credit the vaccine with keeping her infection manageable, though she suffered through several days of body aches, fevers, night sweats, fatigue, coughing, and chest pain, which sounds a lot like the flu to me. We need half of the experts in place. That's what we need. Things would be much better. When we get back, we'll talk about the demented president of the United States. You're listening to 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.